Hi everyone, I'm here today with Ben Blackman. He's the Chief Operations at SalesGeek. Hi Ben, how's it going?
Very good, thank you. Thanks for inviting me on this.
No, it's good. It's good to have you on. I like your background. And that's a very, I'm guessing that's a SalesGeek background.
SalesGeek background in terms of the logo of those glasses and on my jumper.
Yeah.
I always think it's the only place I've ever worked where I've not just sort of agreed to, but wanted to wear the brand actually, because I really believe in what we do, and so does everyone there. So yeah, it looks great as well,
Oh.
which helps. But yeah, that's where we are.
Good. Right. Well, look, let's start off by talking about SalesGeek, and what I wanted to ask is just, tell us everything we need to know about SalesGeek, who your customers' clients are and what you offer them and anything else really. Just to give us a flavor of SalesGeek.
All right, I'll try and keep it concise, but in a nutshell, SalesGeek provides part-time sales directors to businesses all over the UK. And in the last 12 months, we've expanded into America as well. So our expansion there will continue to grow in the coming years. And we're looking to keep replicating that model all over the world. So we provide sales directors who have real walked the walk of being the sales director. Most will have worked for over 10 years at international level. With businesses, really big companies and really big success. And they tend to, on the whole, this is hard to narrow down, but often they work with SMEs actually. And you, a lot of the time, the S within that SME as well, businesses that are scaling up and growing. We work in partnership with a lot of private equity, sort of driven businesses and investor-led businesses where they're looking to grow. But actually, along the way, we work with businesses. Some of them might be sort of fourth generation, 100 years owned by a family type business. We work with PLCs, one man bands, everything in between. I think, in a nutshell, if you're looking to grow your sales, which I suppose most businesses are, we're the guys for you.
Right.
I can go into a bit more detail of, like, we provide many different types of products and services. I'll try and narrow that down to just sort of the core ones, if that's all right. So the original service was and is your sales director. So that's where the sales directors I've talked about will work with a business, and they work with many businesses during their week, a month, and year, from anything as little as half a day a month, right through to maybe 8, 10, 12 days a month with different businesses. So, and being your sales director, it's called your, and it's a big capital your in my mind, and how we verbalize it. Because we're not consultants. It's not, we come in and we're on the clock and we do that. We want to be your sales director. So whether that's half a day a month or 10 days a month or anything in between, that's what we're acting as. For some clients, we do that for years and years. For other, it's a journey helping them establish their own team. But yeah, we're on your team and we want to be part of it. So your sales director is the real bread and butter of what we do day in, day out. We also provide your sales trainer services. And with your sales trainer, we provide real world-class training. It's got all of the methodology and science behind it you'd expect. But what I love is that it's delivered by, again, those sales directors who have lived in the real world, and you get in all of their years of experience. Like, our training's so great, I know I could go and deliver it at a real high level, but I've never walked in the shoes of those businesses as a sales director. So I love the fact it's delivered through the right horse's mouths. It's all Institute of Sales Professional accredited, which is amazing. And again, with that sort of training, it's accessible for all. We put on cohorts of training where very small businesses club together to buy in that training. And we also provide the same training right up to PLC level. Last year, we provided it internationally to, I think it was 157 sales professionals in one business alone over countless territories and many headaches, my end of sort of timescales and stuff. But I love what we do, whether it's why your sales director or your sales trainer. We're trying to make accessible the skill and quality that a PLC at that scale can have to your business that's local. And the last one I was going to mention is actually something we really started rolling out a lot more recently and has been really successful at the moment, something called Your Sales Mentor. And all of our sales directors have sort of realize with all these clients they've worked with, and say it out loud, I just wish I had someone who had my back during my career when I was learning. It's real high pressure, but high reward as well. but they've realized they never had that real sort of like mentor with the years of experience and sort of muscle memory. And so for many businesses now, we provide a Your Sales Mentor service as well, where it's independent of the business, which can often have benefits. But again, you get to have your back and real high level knowledge and experience of someone who's learned probably from their own mistakes and others. So many businesses buy that in for aspiring young professionals or indeed their current executive team.
Okay, great. No, that all makes absolute sense. And we can dig into a bit more of those things in a moment. Tell me again a bit. So what I wanted to do is understand about why Sales Geek was started originally. And you know, you mentioned Richard was the founder and so on. What how far back does that go? And why was the business started originally? What, you know, was it this need that you've described that led to it being started in the first place?
Okay, well, if I get this a lot wrong, let's hope Richard doesn't watch it. And if I get it right, he'll be really happy. But yeah, Richard Few founded the business about 7 years ago. And the clear mission of the place is to change the way the world perceives sales. So Richard himself was in many very high level sales roles. And I'm trying to speak on his behalf, so I can't really. But, he didn't love it. He didn't love the corporate life. And it was hard in many different ways. But he was hugely passionate about the difference sales can make for individuals as a profession. Like in his words, you know, he didn't achieve massively at school or grow up in a massively affluent family or anything like that. But through sales, he traveled the world and earned some good money and changed. Actually, what he realized, that wasn't what interested him. He changed other people's lives and other businesses. And he's really clear. And everyone is here in working with businesses of any size. We want to make a difference with them and for them. And we know that if businesses aren't in business, well, that affects many individuals and many mortgages and plates of food and local economies and all of that stuff. So we're absolute experts and brilliant at what we do technically. But if you ask around the whole Sales Geek network, got 28 Sales Geek directors in the UK alone, they'll all give you a different version of my sort of why, but it's there to make a difference. It's there to make sure that businesses thrive and achieve their best. And the people within them, you know, feel their best. I suppose they've all got a different story of that corporate machine chewing them up and spitting them out to some extent, or them realizing I need to get out before it spits me out. So yeah, does that help? I don't know.
That does. No, that makes absolute sense. Yeah. And no, I absolutely see how the business originally was started. How did it go? You know, again, this was obviously before you were involved, but you'll understand when did the franchise side of the business, when did that start to be developed and where are we up to? You know, you mentioned this 28, you know, 28 in the UK at this point, but yeah, tell us a little bit about what you know of that journey.
So again, going back to Richard, originally he realized I've got to get out of this corporate life, but I still want to use my skills and my passion. And again, as an individual, he's reflective of all of our sales directors. He's a real, well, it's called sales geek, because 1 year someone said to him, you're a real geek, you Richard, aren't you? You're a real sales geek. And he thought, I'm going to call it that. Many people told him, don't call him that. Don't call it that. It sounds rubbish, but he's been proved right. So yeah, Rich set up himself as the original sales geek without realizing it and wanted to provide sales director services to a local business sort of base. And he did that for a year or so really successfully and ended up then growing sort of a sales geek delivery business through that for 2 or 3 years. So where the business was then providing this from a HQ in inverted commas. And then around I always think I get my years wrong, but probably about 3.5-4 years ago, with the franchise model came into being a bit more along the lines of, I think for the right reason, realizing what we can't do is just do this from a head office. What we don't want to do is just parachute into local communities we're not involved in and try and make some money and get out again. The local model is really important for us. We work with a lot of local businesses and we want to be based locally. So around the COVID time, actually, the franchise model started to be developed. And I realized actually, when you look back at our history, it's formidable when you realize that the lion's share of the growth of the last 7 years took place within and then after COVID. So it really shows how how strong actually the reason and the demand for our services is. So in terms of, I always know my own history as much of the business, rolling back to January 2022 was when I got involved. It's about 2 and a bit years ago. And back then we had 5 UK franchisees. And now we're up to 29, sorry, in the UK. And we've evolved the model in the USA, and it will be worldwide in more of a partnership model, actually, where we will now work with master franchisors. So we've got 4 of them in the USA at the moment, and that will keep growing, and we'll look to do that around the world. So the model's gone from that one-man band of Richard doing it to a delivery team in-house to then let's franchise that in the UK. But then now the worldwide model is what we've done in the UK, we want to help other people do in other countries. So we'll be that sort of higher level supporter on a master level.
Yeah, no, that's a good level of growth from that January 22 point. You know, we're just two and a quarter years since that point. So that's a really, it's a good trajectory of growth for a franchise business. We work with so many, and that kind of growth, sustainable growth, is difficult at franchising. You know, you guys will know, but that's pretty impressive. So, you know, yeah, well done on that. And
thank you. Well, and the other thing is, I suppose, every business is a numbers game, isn't it? Some franchises, 28 is nowhere near what they want to get. For us in the UK, for example, we've mapped it out that probably 50 to 60 territories will be capacity in the UK. So we're sort of over halfway there in that. So yeah, in that terms, the trajectory is pretty strong.
Yeah, it's a nice 5-year growth cycle to get to your target. So yeah, that makes sense. Ben, how did you get involved in Sales Geek? So you're obviously somewhere else, but how did that happen?
I was going to say in quite an unconventional way, but that's pretty much the same case for a lot of people at Sales Geek. I was working for myself, actually. So I ran a business that was working with many businesses in terms of strategic development, different version of a much one-man band version of Sales Geek, but not from a sales professional experience. My background's more strategic growth and operations. So I was doing that, working in many interim positions and stuff. And I'd watched Sales Geek in Lancashire, where I live, sort of evolve over the last few years, and just always got a feel for the fact it was a place that was going places. And I've always been looking to join a business that everyone's trying to get to the same goal. We're trying to literally take over the world, and it's going fast. I'd worked in many, many roles where actually I think my skill was trying, I used to say, sort of bringing people kicking and screaming at times to fit with the plan and achieve it. I was really good at that. I could motivate people to do more than they wanted to do or they were willing to. And I used to get a bit of a kick out of that until I realized, hang on a sec, this is tiring and boring and hard. I want to work with everyone who's running in the same direction. So actually, I got to know Richard over a while, you know, just meeting at events and socially and stuff. And then ended up thinking, I'm going to go and tell him that I want to come and work at Sales Geek. And it always makes me laugh because I thought of that and came and sat in a room pretty similar to this, actually, and then sort of chatted away and said, yeah, I want to come and join Sales Geek. I've been looking for this. I like your tribe, all of that stuff. And his first question was, we'll do in what? And through all my thinking, I hadn't thought of that. So we then spent a number of weeks, which I look back on really fondly. I'd talk to him and find out what's going on in the business. And I go, oh, let me go away and tell you what I think it is. Come back 2 weeks later and say, well, this is what I think you need, Richard, and I could do that. I'm your man for this. It's going to be great. But during the course of that conversation, he'd talk more and I'd think, just let me go away again. And so over a few weeks, we sort of went backwards and forwards, and then the end got to the point of going, like, so I'm really keen to join. I know I can add value. If you guys think the same, then give us a ring. And one of those, again, I remember where I was sitting when he gave me the ring, and I was like, fantastic, let's do this. And it's been hard work, really hard work, but amazing. Great fun. And something, again, from a values point of view and how we do business, I love it. And that's important for me.
Did he ever say to you, have you considered becoming a franchisee? Or was that never really you know, on the table, if you like.
Now you say that, I realise is a massive, massive insult from Richard, because if he thought I could have done that, he definitely would have. He would have checked. No, he didn't, and I guess that's because he realised what I brought at that time, or what I brought, sorry, is something very different to the business. So,
yeah,
because the business had evolved primarily through deliverers and trainers, it was, again, from my eyes, from the outside, a great place to come and work with real, very top skilled and vivacious people. And I always remember the first couple of weeks when I turned up and sat down at a desk and sort of tapped away on a laptop and drew some pictures, realizing there was people looking at me thinking, what even is he? What's he doing? And Richard's always said, you know, he realizes you need to bring different people into the business with different skills. And I was one of the first along that way of realizing as a franchisor, operations and systems and what I always honestly like describe as the boring stuff, but the really important stuff as you scale that. So,
yeah, right. So, yeah, so you were a better fit in that role than you'd ever be as a franchisee, basically.
Well, apparently so. I'm going to have to ask Richard. I should say as well, when it comes to that, what I love here, and there's been times where maybe are we walking that walk or not, but we're trying to, which is what Richard will tell you, is that we're not selling franchises. We are awarding them.
Yeah.
So again, you know, in a place where we might only have 50 of those in the UK, our reputation and our values and our mission relies on the right people. And so through that process, it helps when you've got the guy who started it, and Richard's wife is a director, and James, who's blood, sweat and tears and money into it, they're trying to get the right people to do this. So it is, in the end, we have people who have got the money, and sometimes that, you know, they're not awarded a franchise because it's not going to work for them or for us.
Yeah, no, it's really good to hear that, Ben, because, you know, I've been involved in franchising for 18, 19 years now. And my specialist area in franchising has always been recruiting, finding the right profile of franchisees, you know, working with lots and lots of brands over that time. Providing strategic advice, but helping set up those processes, also being actively involved as a recruiter effectively as well, you know, over many, many years, and now kind of running a team that does that. And that's at the heart of what we do, is we always want to ensure that the franchisors we work with are seeking sustainable growth through franchising. And the only way you can be sustainable in franchising is to actually find the right franchisees and bring them on board. And yes, awarding a franchise is the right way to put it, for sure. I call it matchmaking as well. You know, that's another way to put it. We treat it as a matchmaking process very much. You know, people can see something that interests them and fill out a form. That's just a very small step. There's a long way to go from there, and it involves two different parties. There's the potential franchisee who's looking to invest money in a business that's going to do what it needs for them personally. And then there's the franchisor who needs the franchisees to be able to deliver the service and maintain a brand reputation, credibility, and everything else you've mentioned there in a local community, in a local area. And that's, you know, that's how I define sustainable franchising. So, you know, it's good to hear that, because a lot of franchising that I see is about selling franchises. You know, you always have to work. It's always a numbers game,
mm-hmm.
but it's how you accept the numbers when you're not hitting them, you know, and at the end of the day, if your target is 12 new franchisees or franchise partners or whatever you call them over the course of 12 months, if you get six who are still going to be there in 5 years' time, 10 years' time, and profitable and growing their own business and working well with the franchisor, you'd always take the six over 12 of a mixture. You always, you know, that, and that's just, you know, that's important. So,
interestingly, I was in this room yesterday and saying just that, we were talking about so we tend to do onboarding every 2 months, and again, we'll know what sort of numbers we want to get to. And I'll always mention, in this business, I'm sort of half and half. Sometimes if we know those numbers are not as high as we want them to be, then operationally for me, that gives me more time to keep refining systems that in the long term I know will really give us a bit of breath of fresh air and help But equally, as a business, you realize we do need to get certain figures coming through the business in terms of money and stuff. But going back to our mission, change the way the world perceives sales. Richard is passionate, as is everyone here, of, well, why do we need to change the way the world perceives sales? Because it's obvious, it's often not a murky world, but viewed as poor, depending on poor professionals doing that. And on the whole, the sales sector is really ethical, actually, and fantastic to be within and to act with. But so we've got a double whammy, really. We're trying to do that as a business through how our sales directors work, but we must do that through that awarding sort of thing. Again, I know that how you describe it, when we get that right, oh, it's a wonderful thing, that matchmaking and seeing those people fly, which is great for them and great for us. But equally, I know that the busiest times for me in the 2.5 years I've been here have been after periods of time where maybe we haven't got that quite right. And even with that, though, we've learned, you know, it is a hard business to be in a franchise. We've learned a lot. And I think we pride ourselves as much on the onboarding as probably in the last year, we've had to learn a bit about offboarding. And I'm pleased to say sort of within industry standards of the percentages that, but we really worry about it and care. We don't want to see people leave in this franchise. But if and when they do, we want it to be a positive experience again for them and for us. And we've managed to do that. So that's important as well.
Yeah, look, you can never, it's never perfect. It doesn't matter how good that matchmaking process and exercise is. Life happens sometimes, which can totally like mess things up for one or the other. Normally the franchisee is the one that where life kind of makes things difficult for them, and it's just not sustainable, and it's no one's fault. And you're absolutely right. You know, there needs to be an exit process agreed, and it can be very amicable, and good franchisors make sure it is. And because that's just the way it is, life and business sometimes. So, you know, no, totally get it. Ben, I was interested in asking you, before you got involved in Sales Geek, what did you know about franchising? Kind of what was your idea about franchising? Like, how did you view franchising? Obviously, it's changed a lot in the last 2 years because you've been so involved with franchisees growing a franchise network and everything else. But before that, what was your knowledge base on this kind of franchise business model?
It was nothing in reality, apart from what you would know sort of through all the different work I did over the years. Didn't have any experience in it professionally, but actually rolling right back, scarily 25 years ago now, I did a business studies degree. And through that, then I worked in the not-for-profit sector for 10 years and then evolved to run my own business, working with many, again, from one-man bands to PLCs and public sector, private sector. Actually, in the not-for-profit sector, when I look back, often sometimes I did work on these, or I was trying to work with people to essentially franchise something, but in the not-for-profit sector, it doesn't really work like that. But there are many not-for-profits, big ones, actually. For example, I don't know, the RSPCA, in essence, is a franchise. It just doesn't look like that, and it's not sort of in a paid for type capacity. So I suppose a little bit informally, but yeah, when I again rocked up here and said I really want to work for you guys, and Rich told me about stuff and said, well, let's do that, it was working and learning as I went along, like we have in the Sales Geek. It's fair to say, having said that, all my background of the types of roles I've worked in applies here as much as it would anywhere else. But yeah, I would also note, like I said earlier, I do think franchise is a very tough environment to get right. That if you can, the rewards for that in terms of like the feeling and the scope you can cover and everything is amazing. But yeah, it's a tricky model to get right for sure.
Yeah, no, I just picked up on something you said there. You know, you did a business study degree kind of like 24, 25 years ago. And, you know, I graduated doing a business degree in 2000, so that's 24 years ago, and so yeah, we've been on that kind of similar trajectory from that side. And but I remember, you know, franchising wasn't even part of that module. You know, there was nothing mentioned about franchising as a business model. We learned everything else that never came up, and you know, in hindsight, looking back now, it's just so disappointing that wasn't touched on even a little bit, just to make me even think, oh wow, that's an interesting, you know, like way to grow a business. I had no idea. So I came out of university with a business degree, did not have a clue what franchising was, apart from, hey, McDonald's a franchise, what does that mean? Who knows? You know, sports franchises, film franchises, again, what does that mean? Don't really know. And yeah, it's only because I got a job at at the time, the largest, you know, UK's largest franchise consultancy, that, and I had no idea. And that was my, you know, that was the start of my journey in franchising. So yeah, I just think the general person out there, even doing a business studies degree, still doesn't understand what franchising really is. It takes a while to get.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. So same as me, actually. I can think of the sort of, there were different modules through that business studies degree, like purchasing and HR and marketing and sales and blah, 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 but you're accounting, but you're right. Franchise was not covered. I mean, to be fair, I don't think I went to all the lectures, so I might have missed it, but I think my experience would be the same as yours. I wonder what that sort of curriculum would look like now. You'd hope that franchise is within it.
I don't think so. I don't think it really is. I've talked to people that have kind of come out of uni and done similar degrees, and doesn't really come up still. So it's still this kind of hidden away thing. And you know, it is such a shame. And you're right. Franchising, you know, getting franchising right as a business model is incredibly tricky and difficult. There are a lot of moving parts, and I think new franchisors just simply don't understand the relationship between a franchisee and a franchisor. That is such a different kind of relationship than an employee employer, or a, you know, even a licensee. Like if people invest in licensed operations and things like that, but there's no, you know, it's totally different to a franchise. And that, you know, that I think is what makes it so difficult, because it's like a totally different business. I'm pretty sure if Richard, you know, heard this or was on this, he'd say the same. He's like, yeah, he started Sales Geek. Great. Built the business up and it's successful. Then you look at franchising. That's a whole new business again, that it's almost starting from scratch, and you're having to just rebuild it from scratch. I think it's one of the reasons why there are actually a lot of failure points with businesses that go down the franchise route. We've seen that over the years. And I think the main thing is just to, you know, you can't take anything for granted. You gotta get good advice, and you gotta make sure that you know talk to people that have already done that.
Yeah.
Because they are the ones that really will tell you where the problems can lie. So Ben, so you've got a network of, you know, 28, 29 franchisees, you know, as you say. What are some of the key things you believe that help the communication, if you like, between franchisor and franchisees and everyone that works for Sales Geek from a support position, which includes yourself, supporting that network? What are some of the key things that you've done to ensure that, yeah, that communication is really well managed?
Yeah, and actually this is a great example of, like, if we knew what we know now 2 years ago, we would be even further ahead. But that communication thing's so important. You just sort of described why between franchisor and franchisees and what the expectations are. So we try and make sure we get it right from our end of understanding that these people, like, they've invested in this and it's their business and it's incredibly important. So whatever they're asking or requesting or challenging at times, like, it's coming from a place of, like, they care as much as we, so we need to care as much as them, I think, is really top up there. In terms of communication, I suppose as we've scaled, that is tricky, because we went from being a business where, like, I could tell you the names of every single one, and I love that. I joined at a time where, if I joined now, I think I'd find it hard to remember 28 people, but because they've joined along the way, we know who they are and we know their family and we know their business and all of that. So But if I roll back 2 years ago, the amount of time I might spend verbally talking to them on the phone, in person, on Zoom, would have been a lot longer. And as we've scaled, we've had to get more efficient at that. We don't want to reduce the care or the quality, but we've had to make sure that, you know, if we need to get six things done a day for six different people, it doesn't really help the second five if we've spent an hour and a half talking to the first one. So I suppose just getting more realistic on that, but making sure we don't lose that element of socializing and connecting as actual people. So technically, behind the scenes, we put in place the beloved ticket system. And I say that because sort of we don't love it that much and our franchisees don't. But essentially, now we've got 29 different businesses asking us multiple things a day. If that goes to me as an email or one of my colleagues or someone else, hopefully if seven people all email me a day, I'm very diligent and I'll look at that and I'll get it done. But what if I don't? So everything goes through a centralized system, and it's a fast way, therefore, of us triaging it and getting it out to the right person in the team. And we can analyze how fast we've done that, how well we've done that, current topics and all sorts. So we're trying to make, it's not meant to be a computer says no type system, but it is that interface of all right. And just yesterday, actually, I put a message out on video, actually, to franchisees, reminding them, giving them what I say, like my usual sales pitch, keep using that ticket system because it's the quickest route to you getting your thing solved. But yeah, we realize we're actually moving to a new system in the future, I should talk about later, called the Hub, which is going to improve that loads, I think. So that's important. But yeah, just getting the bread and butter things fixed quick for franchisees is really important. We have quarterly meetings, which have really evolved, and at this stage shouldn't be called quarterly meetings because they're, I don't know what they are, but it's an event really where we bring our franchisees together from all over the UK. And I suppose they've evolved from us as a franchisor trying to tell everyone what they need to do and how they need to do it. I don't think we loved doing that, and they didn't. But now it's evolved as a real peer-to-peer sharing of just knowledge and amazingness. It's my favourite day of the quarter, actually, when we do that. So we provide updates and some training, but the value in the room now is those 29 people. So getting them to share together. I'm same generation as you. I grew up when you did use the phone a lot, and maybe emails. And I suppose as we get new generations into the business, you're trying to encourage them to use the phone and verbal communication as much as possible. Sometimes actually that is the quickest route. Like a 2 minute phone call will solve that IT issue far faster than 59 different emails. So
Ben, I totally agree. I mean, it's you know, the franchising really is the systemization of a business. You know, that's a really simple way to describe what you know, when you franchise a business, it's really systemizing the business that is there already. And in systemizing it, it's about putting in, you know, software and processes and communication tools and operational tools and everything else that allows a larger group, which is growing all the time. Obviously, if you're a franchisor, you're looking to keep growing. When you're able to harness the power of the group, that is honestly, I think, when franchisors, it's like a switch goes off. That is when things really change. And for some franchisors, it happens when they've got 15 franchisees. For others, it happens when they've got 20 or 30. It just depends. The model's always different. But that is just, that's evolution, really. And you can't force it. You can't just have 28 or 29 franchisees from day one. So it's impossible. But as you get there, then the franchisor's job really is to put better tools in place to allow those 28, 29 to interact with each other and the franchisor. But it becomes that lovely environment. And that's what you're talking about. You know, you mentioned that, you know, that's your favorite day because that's what it should be. You know, getting a franchise network together, it should be everyone's favorite day. Like it should be. It's not always, and often it isn't actually. But the fact that you say that means you guys must be doing a lot right.
And that's because, again, through that communication, whether it's in person or through the systems, at the core of everything we do, it is, in Richard's terms, it's us and us, and that that is really hard to pull off, and you can't all the time, but it's not meant to be us and them. Now, I always think I'm clear, realizing that that doesn't mean it's not clear that the franchisor has certain roles and responsibilities that we must achieve, and the franchisees need us to, and same vice versa. But when we get success in here operationally and system wise, for me, it works for us and us. So I'm sure I could design and put in place the best operational system in the world that I'm so chuffed with. It doesn't work for those franchisees. Well, it's nonsense. So it's got to work for the HQ providing support and them. And actually what all my background helped me with is often doing that in businesses and realizing I'd go into countless businesses and they'd tell you that, oh yeah, we got a system for that and we got a system for this, and yeah, that's on Slack and that's on this and that's on that and that's something else. And always listen to this. They bamboozle you with technicality of how slick all of their systems were. I'd usually annoy them in hindsight by going, well, so if all of that's working, why are you always missing your deadlines and you're over budget? And it's because it becomes so fragmented, there was too much communication. So the coming year for us from a systems point of view is trying to simplify things actually. And through the hub, which will be sort of our main communication system in terms of resources and instant chat and so much more, everything will be in one place, really easy to access within a click or two, whatever it is for us at HQ or franchisees. And then we work with Zoho in terms of our CRM and Zoho One, which is their whole sort of portfolio of apps. That between those two systems, we'll set it up so that it does what we need it to do now. And I think CRM is a huge subject we shouldn't go into now. But again, the difference between when you know what your model is, which we do now, and how it's going to scale, we can draw out exactly what we do need the CRM to do. So where I think businesses, especially franchisors, can become get in trouble when it comes to systems is when the people come in and show you it can do 79 different things, that's great, but what if you only need four of them? So but when you're learning that yourself, you don't know. So when you actually understand your model and you can draw it on paper, doesn't matter whether you've got the best system in the world or not, as long as it's doing what you need and your franchisees need, that's the key.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I'm a massive, you know, technology and systems fan, and I've worked with developers and coders, and I'm not any of those, but I know what a good system looks like, and you are absolutely right. You can invest in software that solves 50 problems, but you only need one problem solved, and sometimes it's better to go and get two pieces of software that solve the problems rather than trying to do it through one, because it just doesn't work. And then, you know, there's a balance, because you don't want to put in 10 or 12 or 15 bits of software, which then all your franchisees have to be onboarded. They have to learn, they have to understand. If it's not intuitive, then there's training on every single one. And you can try and make that efficient, but it just can become a nightmare. So yeah, there's definitely a balance on that, Ben. And that's a whole nother conversation. You and I can take that offline, because I think talking about CRMs would bore everyone. But I love talking about that stuff. So.
Whereas for other franchisors listening to this, I think sometimes franchisors can be a bit like you're having a wedding. You know, if you phone up the restaurant and ask how much it is to book for a table of 10, it's a certain amount. If you say it's for a wedding, it's more. And when it comes to systems and processes, actually, we Sales Geek it's grown organically. We've not had major investment and stuff. It's grown along the way. So it's got to operate in a good way, in an efficient way. And it's got to succeed in terms of that. But actually, in terms of the systems behind that and what we're putting in place even over the next year, they're not megabucks. So again, I suppose something I know I'm trying to do and all of us in there is learn more and interact more with other franchisors, so we can kind of ask those questions of, well, what system are you using and how much did it cost? And, or definitely don't do this, but do that. But I think sometimes franchisors can get unfairly sold to in terms of the scope and the cost. And actually, we're putting in place very cost efficient systems when I think about it that can scale globally. So.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly how you need to look at it. So, Ben, we'll pick up the phone to each other at some point and have a chat about systems, because I love that. And we can share ideas and thoughts on all of that. So, One kind of last question I wanted to dig into, which is obviously what you guys are, you know, a big part of what you're all about, I'm sure, is just growth in general to, you know, with mainly small and medium-sized businesses. And what have you seen? What have your franchisees seen as the biggest hurdles to growth? I know you can look at sales, marketing, and all of this kind of stuff, and maybe those are the obvious answers. But what's your kind of, what would you say to that, based on what you understand?
Firstly, I am absolutely, like, I've not got the boots on the ground experience of giving the answer from across the board like our sales directors have. I'd say, actually, to start with, 2023 as a calendar year definitely felt, through our whole network and us included, like, really tough economically, actually. So I think small businesses and businesses of all sizes found it tough because of all the economic conditions and the confidence. And when we ticked through into 2024, you could see and feel, and our year has been very busy, really. From, well, I remember saying I completed our first SLA for a franchisee on the 1st of January, which was a Saturday. That's when the first one went out and got signed. And it's just continued. So 2024 economically feels different. So external environment is massive, isn't it, for any type of business? My answer that might be different to a sales geek, in the field's answer is, I think actually a plan and structure and knowing what's the barrier to growth. Sometimes it's really articulating what does growth look like? What's your history? So what our sales geeks do is they come in and they can look very rounded and strategically at the business and work with you very fast through great tools we've got to work out, where have you been? Where are you trying to get to? But actually, if you're trying to get there, how do you do that? And breaking it down into the, you know, the age old, right? So what do we need to do in year three, year two, year one, quarter four, right back to week one? So it's, I think what we do well is trying to work with businesses to actually keep it simple, but not underestimating the fact to do that. We need to delve deep to start with, but then keep it simple. What's your plan? Get the tools in place you need for it and follow it through. I think, that's going to be my answer.
No, that's good. I would totally agree with you. I mean, we worked with, over 20 franchisors. You know, if I take the calendar year of 2023 as well, businesses in terms of just finding customers, there was a struggle there for lots of reasons, depending on what the business was. People didn't want to spend the money at that point. But franchisors in particular really found it difficult to find franchisees, you know, the right kind of people, because everyone was just worried. You know, you get worried whether the consumer or the customer or the client is going to spend the money. And that immediately makes you worried about owning this type of business at this point. And it doesn't put you off, but what it does do is it lengthens your decision-making time. And that's exactly what we've seen. It sounds like you've experienced exactly the same, at SalesGeek. And I would totally agree with you. You know, 2024, there's been a definite change. And whether it's people just in the new year, just deciding, you know what, yeah, life is life and cost of living and this is happening. But I want to change my life and I'm not going to let these things, you know, stop that. I think there is that. People are talking about, the election's on the horizon and how that's going to cause indecision amongst people looking to get into business one way or the other. We'll see, I guess, but those external factors are, you know, I think are huge.
That's a good point. Actually, you're right that the franchise model and why, again, it can be wonderful when it works and to be a part of is you are like people are changing their lives from buying into one and running it and stuff. But I suppose in that 2023, I always look back and you think it felt like, you know, if you open up a newspaper or listen to the news, it felt like the world was ending. You know, there were wars, there's economic issue, all the prices were going up. So we know, yeah, you're right. It might not have stopped someone coming to this in the end, but it was definitely a timing factor because some people might be, looking to exit a job to then come to us. And at the time, you'd have been pretty brave at times to realise now is the time to do that. People were thinking, I'll just stay put and see what happens. But yeah, I think that's the shift into 2024. people are back going, right, now it's time to move forward again. And therefore, I suppose through any type of franchise, again, I know seeing the world of a franchise through a franchisor makes me realise I've always imagined maybe at that sort of retirement age, whether it's something like grass cutting I love or oven cleaning or anything in between. I think, again, that matchmaking process is really important for the individual investing in that franchise, like finding the right one for you, the right actual passion of yours, because it's going to be hard work running your business. But again, the right type of franchisor. And again, as much as that's a responsibility of the franchisor sort of awarding or not awarding, if you're listening to this and you're potentially looking to buy one, do your diligence and make sure you do the rounds and get it right. You know, there's no 100% perfection to getting it right, but do enough work that you think, yeah, this is definitely my passion and I think I can work with those guys, because and girls, obviously. I suppose, again, knowing that you're going to work with the right type of people is key for that, and a good reason to franchise, to become a franchisee. A lot of ours will be similar to me in the past, where they know one of their considerations is, well, I could do this myself. But if they come here, it's because they realise, but I don't want to. I want to do it within sort of a, I want to use a better word than family, but it is a group of people that you know, are all there together.
Yeah, yeah. And Ben, tell anyone listening, and, you know, people listening, there'll be people looking to invest in a franchise. They may not know which one yet. There may be business owners that are looking to franchise their business that, might be interested in the whole sales geek angle as a service for their business to improve their business, as they may look to franchise in the future. And then, of course, there's going to be franchisors listening as well. And where can people go? Like, give us a website addresses, and, you know, the best URLs, domains people can look at to get more information on any of those things.
So you can get information for us. I'm going to try and check at the same time. So salesgeek.co.uk.
Yeah.
But and we just, it was only last month launched. Give me a second. Sales Geek World.
Yeah.
And also there's
works. Yeah.
Salesgeek.world. So if you're interested in buying a franchise in the UK, salesgeek.co.uk. If you're interested worldwide, either in maybe being a master franchisor or a franchisee in a worldwide territory, salesgeek.world.
And if you're interested in the service that SalesGeek offers as a small business or medium business owner?
Yeah, again, salesgeek.co.uk. Yeah, if anyone goes there and clicks on contact or find that, they'll find their way to us. Equally, you're more than welcome to email me anytime. It's ben.blackman@salesgeek.co.uk. But yeah, we love, again, getting to know people. And if we can help, we do. And if we can't, we'll be honest with you. Or if we think we can pass you somewhere else, we do that. So yeah, get in touch through any of those formats for sure.
Brilliant. All right. Well, look, on that note, Ben, thanks so much for your time. It's been great, actually. And, I followed Sales Geek from afar, really. And so it's nice to get to talk to someone directly involved and learn a bit more about it. So and hopefully we'll bump into each other soon at some franchise event or another.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for asking us. We're really pleased to be on there.
All right. Okay, Ben, we'll catch you later. Cheers.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye.